Romans 15 and verse number 14. And if you're able to, you'll sit for a little bit, so let's stand in honor of the word of God. And I'll read you verse number 14. Romans 15 and verse number 14. And it says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." And we're talking about this idea of admonishment and how that God wants each believer to do some admonishment, to help one another in a form of warning. The message was warning, beware, caution, all right? Now we're adding an asterisk to that, part three, all right? And let us pray. Lord, bless us again as we dive in and continue. Give us wisdom, help us to appropriate and balance your truth so that we can be effective in our dealing with one another. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. And thank you again for your faithfulness in the house of the Lord. Thank you for being here. We had several visitors this morning. One gentleman was sitting over here on the right, and he's looking for a church. He just moved into the area. He's checking out churches. I'm sure he probably looked at us up online. He was here this morning. And so let's think about that and pray for that individual. And then that's a couple are from Washington, and they brought the big RV, if you saw outside, the big RV. That was them, the couple that was sitting over here. They came in at 10:30 in Sunday school. They probably checked us out online for them to find out that we have services. And they drove all the way from Washington State. So they're camping, and they're looking at me, and they're saying, "Do you know of any campground that's open? We can't find anything in your state." I said, "Man, I'm not a camper. I don't know." He said, "Well, we are already camping. All of us are ready to camp. Why is New York not ready for us?" I said, "I don't know." But she said she enjoyed our services this morning. She said it was a wonderful, wonderful service. So it was good to see them. And then Pastor Seth and I visited somebody that was used to come to church. And lo and behold, he was here with a friend of his. And so it was good. Very, very good day this morning. In just way of review, we talked about the prerequisite of being an admonisher. And one of that is having full of goodness and also having knowledge. And I'm not saying that you have to have, you have to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying either that you have to know everything about everything. You have to be an expert. That's not it either. But I think it's given us some boundaries here to be careful that we should have, when you're warning, the idea of admonish means to warn, and the idea it would be received well if the people receiving this warning from you sees that you have their best interests in mind. You're not trying to hurt them, but you want to protect them and help them, all right? And you have the knowledge worth it all to help them in this situation. Let's bring it to the gospel. We are all admonishers of the gospel. We are supposed to warn people that there is a pending judgment. There is a place that they need to avoid. And that there is hope in Jesus. We're all, as a Christian, we approach the lost. All of us have a form of being an admonisher to warn people. And our warning comes from a heart that is of love. A heart that is of truth. All right? We're not going to deny the truth. I wish I could tell people, don't worry about hell. It's not going to happen. I wish I could say that. That's not true, all right? But I have to warn them, and I have to let them know. And my heart has to be in this spirit that I want them to not get hurt. I want them, my mindset is for their best interest. I'm warning them because I care for them. And I know the answer, and that's Jesus Christ. All right? I'm not bringing Jesus Christ arrogantly to them. I'm bringing him maybe confidently. Maybe I'm bold to preach the gospel. All right? Because I know that there's a pending judgment. I know there is, it's not a pending judgment. It's already been judged. We are condemned already, the Bible says. All right? It's already sentenced. They need salvation from that judgment, and Jesus Christ is the answer. So I have the goodness of God in my heart. I have the love of God in my heart to compel them and to let them know there's a way out of this very, very dangerous situation they're about to face. If they don't accept Jesus Christ, they are going to face this eternal torment in the lake of fire. But they don't have to. They don't have to. And we got the news. We got the word of God. We got the truth that they can rest their faith on. And they can trust Jesus. And Jesus can save them from this very, 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 very scary thing that's going to happen. And so our idea of admonition has to come from a heart of caring and from a heart of knowing the truth, all right? Knowing the truth. And so I encourage everybody, work on your love. Perfect your love. Let God work on you so that you become loving. Not tolerating of sin. True to the truth of the word of God. Not compromising. Strong in your stand by the truth of the word of God. But caring. Because people don't care what you know unless they first know that you care. And it helps them if they know you're coming at it from a heart that you want the best for them. All right? You want the best for them. You know, God wants the best for all of us. It is our fault. It is our fault. We walk away from the umbrella of His Almighty. When we walk away from the shadow of the Almighty, that's our choosing. When we walk away from His protection because we don't want to be told what to do. We don't want His authority. We just want to walk away from that. Well, under His authority also comes His benefits. You can't leave the authority of God and expect the benefits of God. You have to stay in the shadow of the Almighty. The book of Psalms talks about all of that. Be under His wings of protection. And so as you are there, you're the one that walk away. And when you walk away, guys, what I preached the last 2 Wednesday does not apply to you. That only applies with people that are in love with their God and are trying with their best to be with God. Now, I'm not talking about they're perfect. I'm not talking about they're sinlessly perfect. But no, they have a right attitude toward God. They're close to God. At best of their ability, they're right with God. And God thinks well of us. God wants us to bring us to an unexpected end. But if you are running away from God, and if you are, contradicting His truth, and you're walking away fully by your choice, knowing that you're choosing against God, then God's blessing is not going to come with you. You're going to be like the prodigal on that faraway country. You're going to feel the pain, and you're going to feel the betrayal of this world. And they're going to use you, and they're going to abuse you, all right? And that's not God's fault. That's not God's fault. That's our fault if we walk away from Him, all right? So in this idea of admonition, we are thinking about we need to have their best interests in mind, and we need to have knowledge. We need to know what the Bible says on the subject before we pronounce any kind of opinion on anything. All right? And make sure you have the proper, you are the proper authority to give an opinion. All right? Sometimes, I understand we have opinions, but sometimes they're not needed. Because we're not the right person to give it. Correct? Would you think that I would have my kids listen to somebody that's not their father regarding our family? A stranger out there. And they get to tell my kids how to treat dad and mom. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let them be influenced by something like that. I'm the father. And I'm going to be the one to bring that influence to them by bringing them to Sunday school, bringing them to church. And I will put them under Sunday school teachers that I believe that know God and that have a heart for God. I'm going to bring them under junior church workers. I'm going to bring them with teen workers, right? That's my choosing, and I'm responsible for that. So again, in way of just getting our mind back to this, admonish means to warn, to notify of a fault, to reprove with mildness, to counsel against wrong practices, to caution or advise, to instruct or direct. That's the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary of the word. And we found that the prerequisite, we already talked about briefly here, now going forward, where can we expect admonishment to come from? Where is it going to come from? We know, number one, it comes from the Lord. And then it moves, number two, it comes from the word, the Bible, the word of God. We receive admonishment. And then After that, the church. You can expect to receive admonishment from the church. Now we go to point number four, and that is now the preacher. The preacher. Expect that you will get admonishment from the preacher. Look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 42. Jeremiah, chapter number 42, verse 19. Jeremiah, chapter number 42, and verse number 19 to verse number 22. And it says, "The Lord had said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye disassembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say. So declare unto us, and we will do it." All right, this is the people of Israel, Judah, and they're going to Jeremiah and saying, "Hey, tell us what God says, and we will do exactly what God says." And Jeremiah says, "Well, I admonish you." Now here's verse 21. "And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which ye had sent me unto you." Okay, so Jeremiah is a straightforward kind of dude. I like about straightforward kind of dudes, right? And he said, "Hey, you told me to tell you what God wanted for you to do. Now I come and told you that, but you don't want to do it." And so an encouragement to any preacher of the word of God, just preach it. Just preach it. Whether they do it or they don't do it, just preach it. I think Ezekiel said something similar. Just preach it. Whether they would forbear and hear you or not, the idea is, by God, as a preacher, we have to preach what God says. And so Jeremiah just did that. In verse number 22, "Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn." So this is a place they want to go. And they asked the man of God to talk to God, and then God declared to them what they should do, and now they have a choice, all right? And now they have a choice. And so they either obey God or don't obey God. In this moment, they didn't obey God, and so Jeremiah says, as a warning, as a form of admonishment, I'm just notifying you, I'm instructing you, I'm letting you know this is a bad decision. If you do this, this is what's going to happen, all right? So please don't get mad at the preacher when the preacher does that. That's our job. That is our job, to proclaim the truth and to let you know what will be based on the decisions you make. All right? If you come to me and ask for advice, I will bring you to the scripture. As much as I know of the scripture, I'll bring you to that. And at times, I might even have you talk to other preachers that I know, or even other individuals that I know the scripture about that particular subject, and I would ask them what they think about this. It would be advisable. It would be helpful to you. And so think about that. But you have to choose. You have to choose, and then you have to bear the consequence of your choice. But the preacher, one of his job is to admonish, to warn you. Hey, don't go that way. Hey, come this way. Just like this morning. It was a form of admonishment saying to us, if you surrender your life to the Lord, you'll see things other people don't see. All right? And it's a way of letting us know that we can have something. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 9. Ecclesiastes 12 verse number 9 to verse number 14. For the sake of time, I'm going to read my notes. I have the verses here. You turn there. Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 9. "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs." Now, we know who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes humanly. It was Solomon. And Solomon wrote a lot of the book of Proverbs. Now, look at this, verse 10. "The preacher," talking about Solomon, "the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." Verse 11, "The words of the wise are as goads and as nail fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd, verse number 12, and further, by these, my son, be admonished, all right? Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And here's the conclusion of it all. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, this man had it all. This man had everything a man can desire, from wealth to prestige to luxury. This man had it all. If I'm not mistaken, he ate with golden plates, and he ate with golden silverware. Well, not silverware. Now, we call that goldware. I don't know what would you call it. Not be silverware, right? Goldware. I don't know. Maybe that's how you do it. I'm not sure. But he didn't eat with silverware. He had gold, if I'm not mistaken, right? He had it all. And he said this. He said this. He said this. All right, let us hear the conclusion of it all. He said, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so, may I say this to us, Christians today, may I admonish you as Solomon did, God is going to bring you into judgment, whether you do it publicly or privately. He knows what you are doing. And the conclusion of it all, fear God and keep his commandments. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 12. It says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace amongst yourselves. So that's our job, the preacher. You will find admonishment coming from the preacher. The Lord, the Word, the church, the preacher. Number five, the brethren. The brethren. You'll find that the brethren, meaning your church family, your brothers and sisters in this church that know Jesus, can give you admonition. All right? Look at Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 12. Colossians chapter number 3. And verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Look, remember I talked to you in Romans 15 and verse number 14. Filled with goodness, full of goodness, filled with knowledge. Now, Colossians chapter number 3 backs up Romans 15, 14. Now read it. Now pay attention to those two prerequisites. And now as it deals with brothers and sisters, in the believers, admonishing one another, those two truths comes. All right, look at this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Mercy. You need some mercy when you're about to give admonishment. Kindness. Does not this play really well what I was just talking about to you, Romans 15, 14? Look at it, it says, bowels of mercy. Now, don't water down the truth, because the Bible says the word first described was holy. Holy, separated from sin. The word of God is pure. It should be treated that way. It should be respected. It should be honored. I will not cowtail when it comes to the truth of the word of God. I will tell you what it says. I will tell you as kind as I possibly can, but I will tell you what it says. All right? But then as I tell you the word of God and the requirement of holiness, I need to have bowels of mercies. I need to have kindness, and I do need to have humbleness of mind. Man, if you are about to admonish somebody, please be humble. Please be humble about it. Please don't come across arrogant and proud and you have no faults. Please, please pay attention now. As you give admonition, remember I was talking before, you either give an admonition or you're getting admonition. You're either giving admonition or you're getting it. That's the way it works. Sometimes it happens all at the same time. All right? The brethren can give you admonition. Expect admonition come from brothers and sisters that love you. All right? And you that love somebody that you call your sister, you're going to give them admonition. So be aware of having mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. This is not accidental that these words are being pronounced here when it comes to us admonishing one another. Because it matters how you do it. It matters how you do it. All right? Now look. Verse 13, it continues with some very powerful truths. Forbearing one another, putting up with one another, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. You see the spirit of a man or a woman coming to admonish somebody has all these things in them. No pride, no arrogancy. No, I'm better than you. That's not where admonition should come, and it should not come that way. And when I'm giving you admonition, I'm doing it as best I know how, because I love you, and I know something about the situation that's worthy of you noting. And it could change your life. It could save you. All right? And that's why I'm giving it to you. Now, look at it now. It continues here. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Time will heal. No, it won't. No, it won't. Time only heals a wound that has been taken care of. If you have a disease that is untouched and nobody try to help you, it will kill you if it's left unattended. But something like a cut, for it not to be infected, you will have to treat it. My kids hate me when I have to treat their wounds, especially if it's infected, because I do a wonderful job. Sit still. Don't move. I'm scraping your flesh right off of your bone, but do not move. They're saying, oh, I want to go to the doctor. I want to go to the doctor. Don't have money for doctor. Let's do this. Just kidding. Just kidding. That was in the Philippines. Here we can go to the doctor. Insurance covers it. We can go to the doctor. But an infected wound has to be treated with antibiotic and has to be treated clear and clean and put some form of ointment to help it in its healing, and then wraps it nicely and then leaves it alone. That's how you deal with that. But people that have bitterness and unforgiveness and problems that stay in the same place, don't do anything about to fix the problem, doesn't heal it because it took time. Time only heals wounds that have been attended to. Attend to the wound. Get God to help you fix it. And then time will heal it. But it will not be healed if it's infected. It will be worse. It will stink. And pretty soon you'll walk away with no arms because you didn't take care of it. All right? Be careful with that mindset. Well, time will heal everything. No, it does not. No, it does not. If a man have a quarrel against any, oh, side note, I'm talking about admonishment. I'm not talking about problems. But if you have problems with people, it's the same prerequisite God wants you to have. All right? If you're having problem with people, God says you have to deal with it. You have to forgive them. You have to do something about it. All right? What do you have to do? Holy, bowels of mercy, kindness, loving, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. You have all of those, then go to your brother that you have offended or you that have been offended and fix the problem with that spirit. Well, I tried, Pastor. It didn't work. Well, do you have this that I just read? Or you were over there to say, well, I'm going to prove them I was right and they're wrong. And they're the ones that need to ask me for forgiveness. That's what I'm going to do. Well, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. Okay? That's a side note. Pre before you tonight. Verse 14. And above all these things, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, the bond of maturity. A mature Christian forgives easily. A mature Christian forbears. A mature Christian has bowels of mercy. A mature Christian has kindness. A mature Christian has humbleness of mind. A mature Christian has long-suffering. A mature Christian has meekness. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be full of goodness and be filled with knowledge. What does it say now? The second point here on Colossians. Let the word of God, of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Then do this. Then do this. After all this is said, after you're filled with goodness and you're full of goodness and you're filled with knowledge, then do this. Then do what? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever ye do, listen now, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. May I recommend, the next time you're about to admonish somebody, would you consider having these things first before you open your mouth? And I think it will go well. Husbands, there's times you have to admonish your wife. Wives, many times you have to admonish that tall, dark, and handsome dude. Down to Elizabeth only, my wife. You have to admonish him. Why? Because we are fallen creatures. We make mistakes. And sometimes the mistakes are not even intentional. And sometimes the mistake is simply forgetting an appointment. We just forgot about this appointment. I am so sorry. Right? Some of the things that we get upset about are very minute, if we really look at it. But this is talking about if there's problems and how to admonish one another. You find the principle that you need to have some goodness in there and you need to have some knowledge. 1 Thessalonians again, 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. So this is brethren, again, admonition is a warning. It's talking to us brethren. Brothers and sisters, at times we are called upon to admonish one another. And I'm glad for a church that have mature Christians here that speak out the truth when they see a brother going into trouble. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Don't hang out with those people because you're going to go in a bad direction. I'm glad somebody opens up their mouth and says those. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying if we want to be more effective, I believe, we need to be careful and have some prerequisite. Let's have the Holy Ghost help us to have these things in our heart so that as we give these admonition, it will be received better. All right? Number six. Where can you expect admonition to come from? The Lord, the Word, the church, the preacher, the brethren, the parents. The parents. All right? Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6. I'm going quickly here. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6:5-7, very famous to us. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou, well, that means you have to be at home sometimes. Raising children sometimes means you have to be at home, fathers and mothers. I don't know why I got passionate, but I had to do that. All right? Sometimes you have to be home to do that. That's what it says. Look at this. And thou shalt teach them diligently to the children, and thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The three qualifications here, three of them done at home. Look at it now, just practically here. When you sit, when you lie down, and when you rise back up. Those three are done at home. You can argue with me. That's fine. But three out of the four is done at home. One is done away from home when you walk, by the way. And you can argue that it can even be done at home. But I'm trying to say to you, like I've been saying, if you're raising young children, please mind the time you give to them. It is so important and it's so vital. All right? Now, lastly, last 2 points and we'll be done. I promise you, there was a miracle that happened Sunday morning, last Sunday morning. That miracle might not likely to happen again. I'm going to finish this. Now, let's go to these two things. How to react to admonition. How do you react to admonition? When a brother comes up to you or when a sister unprovoked comes up to you and gives you a warning, when the preacher preaches a message that it hits you as an admonition, when the church, you feel it, when the Lord speaks to you, when the word of God comes out alive as you read it and it gives you admonishment, how do you receive admonishment? How do you, should you react? There's two ways to react. Number one, you receive it. You receive it, you heed it, all right? You heed it. You take it and say, this is precious. Somebody cared for me that knows better than me and gave me some good old warning and advice. Thank you, I'm going to take it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to heed it, all right? That's a response you can have. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18 to 21. Now, this is parallel to Ezekiel 33. Now, it's talking about the watchmen, the idea of the watchmen, all right? The watchmen were warning the wicked and the righteous. I'm just going to read you these verses and leave it there, all right? Receive it. Ezekiel 3, 18 to 21. Verse 18 of Ezekiel 3, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, that's a warning, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require out of thine hand. Remember what Cain said to God. Remember what Cain said to God? Am I my brother's keeper? Let me ask you the same question. Are you your brother's keeper? I don't know if God, I don't know, Pastor, if God answered him. But I'm going to ask you, are you your brother's keeper? I just, in a wedding, Ecclesiastes, I just read to you, Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Two are better than one. Are you your brother's keeper? Do we have a responsibility to one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Now that responsibility can vary, correct? But do we have a responsibility to one another? I'm glad Pastor Cole took some responsibility with my life and spoke to me when I needed to hear some things I probably didn't think about. And he said, son, when you're going to go to Bible college, this is what I think about it. Listen to it. Didn't force me, but gave me admonition. I'm glad he cared enough to let me know. Right? There's a few other people that Pastor said has done some of those things in my life. Brother Mike has done a few of those things in my life. Brother Kelly has done those things in my life. Brother Nelligan has done those things in my life. I'm not saying everybody else. I can name all of you. Because I was young and you gave me some good advice. Correct? Do we have some responsibility to one another? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We're a family. We're a family. It would be unkind. Brother, if you see me doing something wrong and you don't help me, it would be unkind for you not to say a word. See? See what I'm talking about? This thing we do here, on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night is not just for a show. This matters. We are Christians. We are brothers. We live. And we have to live helping one another be accountable. And we have to do it the Bible way. Don't be busybody. Don't be a police officer and like, all right, pastor, I'm just going to let you know. I'm the one designated to let you know what everybody's doing on Facebook. All right, roll call. Member so-and-so, pastor, has posted cigarettes and such and such. Pastor, what are you going to do about that? That's not what I'm asking you to do. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to have some goodness and knowledge of the scripture so the Holy Ghost of God can direct you to love on a brother and a sister when they need it the most, when they're vulnerable, and you can help them and lift them up because you want them to succeed. I want everybody here to succeed. I don't want anybody to backslide. I don't want anybody to lose their fire for God. I don't want that. I don't want any of that. And if it needs me to be uncomfortable sometimes to come to you on a private matter and say, brother, I believe if you keep going that direction, if you keep hanging out with that things, if you keep doing that things, I'm just going to be honest with you. I love you. This is a word of admonition. I'm just warning you, brother, don't do that because that's what's going to happen. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But I love you and I know the Bible enough, I know God enough that I cannot keep my mouth closed. And it's not just because I'm a preacher. Because I'm your brother in Jesus Christ. That's why I'm telling you. Our Christianity cannot just be coming to church and seeing each other three times a week. It can't just be that. Imagine a family, that's how they do it. Mom and dad only see each other three times. 3 hours in a week. Imagine if the children only see mom and dad three times in a week. They have no interaction. They don't have any provoking one another to good works. They have no rejoicing with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. They have no clue what's happening to those people. They just go to church with them. We have to be a little bit more involved than we would like. And I know that's difficult. But how can we practice some of these things, right? I'm not saying spend every waking moment at your neighbor's house, all right? You will weary them, all right? There's an appropriate time, all right, of social. 12 o'clock at midnight, don't text people, all right? Don't call people at that time. And when they're having dinner, please don't call them when they're having dinner, all right? When the kids are taking a nap, don't call them. When the kids are taking a nap. All right, there's some practical things we can have some guidelines, but we cannot be nomads and we cannot be isolated from one another if we say we're brothers. We have to be in somewhat influencing one another. We have to be helping each other's marriage. But you knowing me should help your marriage a little bit. And you should help my marriage a little bit by knowing you. By admonishing one another. You could receive it. Let me read this to you. I don't know, I got into that. Let me read this to you. Verse number 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man that turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned also thou hast delivered thy soul. So as admonisher, it's nothing to do with the fact that they're going to listen to you or not, but the fact that you love them and you show them that you care. And you know what God wants you to share them. You know the truth of the word of God. And you're going to give it to them in a humble, meek way. And you're going to give it to them because you have bowels of mercy. And you're going to give it to them because you care. And when you do that, it's up to them to heed your warning or not. They can either heed it, receive it, or number two, reject it or ignore it. Now for those that reject and ignore it, I'll give you three verses and I'll be done tonight. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. It's not a good place to be in when you cannot receive any more admonishment. Talking about this verse as a king. So even a king needs to receive an admonishment. Even as pastors, we need to receive admonishment. Titus chapter 3, 9 to 11. Titus 3, 9 to 11. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And kudos to those people that don't get involved in debates that doesn't amount to anything. Because the Bible tells us right there. Next time you're going to comment about something stupid, read this verse. Is it worth your time really to jump into this? And I just chose not to do it. I just don't. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they're unprofitable and vain. Verse 10. A man that is heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself. You see, the first and second admonition gives you the idea that God wants to give some chances to people. The first and second admonition. Reject them at that point, all right? You know why people are not paying attention to your opinions? All right, I'm going to leave it there. Proverbs 29, verse number 1. Proverbs 29 and verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Mild reproof is one of the definitions of admonish. And when somebody keeps going to you because they care about you and they know what's best and they're trying to give it to you, and you often what? You often what? Harden it your neck. Suddenly you will be destroyed. And that without remedy. A word of warning. I would suggest to you, heed the warning. Heed the warning. Last two verses, Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Admonish means advice, counsel. Find some counselors that you know walk with God and know God, and have them help you out. At any rate, pray. Let God give you his counsel. Proverbs 24:6, last verse. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. The prerequisite, where you're going to get admonishment, and how you're going to receive it, how you're going to take it. You either take it, heed it, receive it, or you reject and ignore it. It's up to you. And the consequence will come. If you heed it, good consequences come to you. If you ignore it, bad consequence comes to you. All right? What are you going to do about this idea of admonishment? Let us pray. Lord, help us as a church to be mindful of the truth that we heard tonight. Help us as we admonish one another. Help us not to shy away from admonishing people that we love and care for. Help us to learn to perfect our love, Lord, for one another. Lord, bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.